I want to correct.
John Horgan along with Dave Downs in regard to the Mans Hill Beach Monster, November 1970. You were an eyewitness. Can you tell me about what drew you down to Scituate that night? Did you hear a news report?
Yeah, my wife saw it on television. So I also saw Edward Rose Snow there. And basically he was saying, hey, no one's come down here to look at this thing. It's going to wash out in the flood high tide. And so I went down. You know, I was interested in UFOs and all that. So I took my wife. We stopped off and got my parents. I was going to school full time at the time and also working. And so we drove down there. So we didn't get down there till about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like a 4th of July celebration. You had to park a quarter of a mile, half a mile, away from that little path that you can see. I've got pictures here from the papers.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
From that time. So we got down there, and like I told you earlier, there was a police car stuck in the sand, and they were making announcements so the people could meet up with each other, because there's so many people, people are getting lost from people that they come down with. There was a civil defense truck there with spotlights shining down on the thing. Now, this is at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
Sawhorses set up around it, and there were firemen there holding the people back.
Wow.
I'd say the crowd was 10 to 15 feet deep.
So well over a couple of thousand.
Well, I don't know if it was that many, but I'd say several hundred people were there. And it took me about 10 minutes to get from the outside of the crowd to the inside, because everyone was crammed so close together that, you know, if one person leans, everybody leaned. It was kind of that crowd, that crowd phenomenon, because everybody wanted to see
the thing.
So I got down there, and it's just like people say. It looked like a camel. It looked like a horse's head. It looked like a monster.
So,
you know, you saw what looked like a head. It looked like a neck. Now, in my mind, it's been almost 40 years now, I've been telling people it was 8 feet long, that neck, and it wasn't. I just looked at the pictures now, probably 2 feet long.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Wow.
But, well, anyway, and then so then I got out of the crowd, and I went around to the tail end, went in that way, and got down and pulled out some of these hairs that I describe as looking like spaghetti before you cut them.
Wow.
It was kind of like that. And they started curling up on me almost immediately. So that fascinated me. And, you know, we were with my parents and everything, so we drove back home. But I could not sleep. It was just so exciting. So my wife and I went back, and we got there just as the sun was coming up. All the news trucks were leaving. They weren't there while we were there, I remember. And there was some kid there pretending to eat it, you know, like tuna fish. And I think there was one camera left, and they were interviewing this kid. And there were maybe 7 or 8 or 10 people there. And I can remember seeing crushed glasses,
wow.
You know, and a microphone from a tape recorder that had been left behind.
Wow.
And the neck and the head had been taken away. So what I did was I brought down a regular kitchen knife and a fork, and I cut that vertebrae out. And then I got some more of the hairs from the tail of the thing. And then I cut out a piece of what I thought was the scales of it. But it, like I said, it turned out to be the muscle. So we drove back home. And later on, I was able to go to the drugstore and buy formaldehyde. You can't do that today. And I think they changed the law within a year of the time they bought it. You can't just go in and buy formaldehyde anymore. So I mixed it up in formaldehyde in these bottles. And I've got 3 of them left, I think, with the hairs in them.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I think, has a piece of flesh in there, I think. And I brought the sample of what I thought was the scales to the biology teacher, Framingham State, who told me, no, that's muscle tissue that we're looking at. It's not scales. And then the vertebrae, we lived in a small little shack, cottage type thing that we were renting, and it was a coal-burning furnace, believe it. I have to get up every night at 2 o'clock to put more coal on the fire in the winter. But anyway, so I put this vertebrae on top of the furnace, hoping to dry it out to preserve it. But because it was cartilage and it wasn't bone, you just couldn't preserve it. So it stunk up the whole house. My wife got teed off at me, so I had to take it outside. Mm-hmm. So I put it into a bowl. I'm going to school full time. I was working 20 hours a week, and it just finally deteriorated over the winter, I guess. I put salt in the water and tried to keep the water level above it. But as, the months went on, it just deteriorated. I couldn't save it. But I did save the tail. I'll show you in a few minutes, out in the trunk of my car. What else would be important? Oh, and then the neck and the head had been taken to the Boston Aquarium. And so it was the scientists there that looked at it and came up with the conclusion that it was a basking shark. And I agree with them that the jaw, all of this area is gill area, and the gills are not that strong. So all that stuff could be wiped out. There was an article within a week or so of that sighting where someone had claimed they caught that thing about 3 months earlier. They tried to pull it up onto their dock and broke the dock.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah, so they towed it out and left it in the middle of Cape Cod Bay. So now it had washed up in a storm 1 or 2 days before Edward Rowe Snow got involved. And, with it in a storm and brushing up against all the sand and the stones, it's like sandpaper, so it's going to brush off all the epidermis on the thing, so it's down to muscle. And besides that, it had been sitting in the ocean for 3 months, apparently. I mean, who knows how long it had been there. So the fin had been broken, and a lot of it was deteriorated, So what we saw was, if you look at your own pictures of a regular, that white shark that you saw coming out of the water with his mouth open, you'll see that nose-type thing. And that's what looked like the head. It's that little clump of bone or cartilage at the nose of the fish that looked like the head. And it was the vertebrae going back that looked like the neck, because the rest of the head and the jaw and all that had been either ripped off or eaten off or just, deteriorated off. Now, let's see what else I can remember. So then I called up Edward Rowe Snow because I wanted to see what he had to say, because he was a businessman all the way. Well, come on my tour of the Boston Harbor. So in order to tape record him, I had to go on the tour. It was on a Saturday, and back in those days, we had a reel-to-reel battery-operated tape recorder.
Wow.
So there were only about five of us on the boat, and he showed us the different things, and we went to Fort Warren, where he talked about the woman in black, and I think the woman in red, only that may be another story, I don't know, but I remember going down in those tunnels alone with no flashlight and not being able to see a doggone thing, and you didn't know if you were going to fall off, and throwing some rocks to here and all that. And I was alone because I didn't know the other people. And after, 45 minutes, he was done with his tour. We had like a half hour left over. So this is a good example of how people can be fooled.
Okay.
I had my tape recorder with me. And I was down at one of those, the points of the star of the fort. Mm-hmm. And I could swear that I could hear a military marching band. Now, that's back in 1970. People didn't have the boom boxes and all that stuff, and nowadays they don't have boom boxes anymore either. So, I thought, well, jeepers, I've got a tape recorder. If it's real, I'll be able to tape it. So I turned on the tape recorder, played it back, and sure enough, I could hear, just barely hear, this military marching band. And there's only five or six of us on the island, plus the caretaker with the gift shop that they had at the time. And this is before they fixed up the fort in 1970. It was still
dilapidated.
Yeah, it was really in bad shape back then. But what happened was I went up to the top of the fort, and I realized when the wind blew just the right way, it was on a Saturday, I was listening to the Hull High School band at halftime for the football game. So, it was a marching band, sound and everything.
Sure.
But it was coming across. If you look on a map, you'll see that island is very close to Hull,
sure.
particularly where the high school
sure.
is.
Yeah.
So maybe a mile, maybe two at the most. So when the wind was blowing just right, that's how you heard it. But if I hadn't gone up there to find out, I'd be here telling
oh,
you
yeah.
that
yeah.
I heard a military
a phantom band. Marching band.
It wouldn't be lying, wouldn't be
right,
making up
right,
a story.
Right.
And that's one of my
right.
things.
So just wrapping, bringing it around, Dave, with Snow. What did Snow tell you on that trip about the monster?
Oh, no, it's a sea monster. It was a sea monster. No, it wasn't a basking shark. You know, he just would not budge. You know, right. So, you know, and I've got that tape somewhere, and sometime I'd like to. But you got to get, and I bought a couple of these reel-to-reel tape recorders, but never quite got them working, you know. But someday I'd like to try it.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Yeah. That's priceless.
Yeah, great. Same here.
So let's take a look at those pictures.
Now, if you shut that off, I'll tell you a few other things.